Greetings, friends, in the land of radio. This is Ben Howard, Jr. coming to you today with another message from the Word of God. We trust that you've been enjoying our previous broadcast on the Word of God and on what God is doing in this day that we're living in. Now, last week we made mention that we were going to begin a study on the seven church ages, and that we will do today. Now, the study that we're taking today, this is more or less a historical study of the church from Pentecost to where it's at now. But we can only take it little by little because it will take a good while to get through the seven church ages. If you'll notice in Revelation 2, it's 2 and 3, it speaks of the seven different intervals that the church went through. So we're going to begin a study on those things. Now, we understand by the reading of the Word of God that Paul was the messenger to the first church age. There is no doubt at all about it, because it is plainly stated in the Word of God. Because he said, I laid the foundation, let every man take heed how he build thereon. And he said, no other foundation can be laid other than this that is laid. And also he said, if an angel come from heaven preaching any other gospel than this gospel that I preach, let it be accursed. See, Paul had the revelation for the Gentile church age. Though Peter had the key to the kingdom, the authority to open up the kingdom of God on the day of Pentecost, when he said, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But notice, for a season there, the gospel was preached more or less to Israel, to the children of Israel, the Jews, until about 53 A.D., or well, it was preached some before then to the Gentiles. But after that, after about that period, the Jews rejected him. You know the story. We won't have time to go into it, how Jesus came and how they rejected him, and then how they even rejected the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, many of them saying these are drunk on new wine and so forth because they were speaking in tongues and praising God and so forth. You read it in Acts 2. Many of the Jews rejected that. But we find that the Gentiles, they believed the Word of God as Paul preached it to them. Because he said in one place in the book of Acts that it was first necessary first to preach the gospel to the Jews. But he said, seeing you have judged yourself unworthy of eternal life, so we turn to the Gentiles. And he said, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Amen. So God turned to the Gentiles, what for? To take out a people for his namesake, which is the bride of Jesus Christ, which is the true church of the living God. And there's a great mystery of how God did this. And we're going to begin to probe into that mystery today, as we begin a study on the seven church ages. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with us to the second chapter of the book of Revelation. And let us begin reading with the first verse. It reads like this. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Now notice, he said, to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Notice, in each age now, as you will find out, there is an angel or messenger. A messenger to each church age. And this is not literally, not altogether talking about just the church that then was at Ephesus, though there was a church at Ephesus. And though the condition was in the church and in this town here that would portray the whole church age, which we won't have time to go into it too much on the broadcast. But let me remind you again, if you are interested in these last day Bible truths, then visit us at the Westside Tabernacle of God to hear more about these Bible truths. Alright, let us go on to verse 2 now. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them who are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars. That's the word of God, friend. And have borne, and have had patience for my name's sake, has labored, and has not fainted. Now listen. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove the candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate. Now I want you to notice verse 6 there careful, because we're going to deal with verse 6 right smart to show you what started off in the first church age and how it grew and grew through time, and show you in the seventh church age, which is the Laodicean age, how that these seeds that were planted, the deeds of the Nicolaitan, how it became a doctrine and so forth. We're going to explain today what the deeds of the Nicolaitan is. Verse 7 says, and he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise. Now that is as far as we're going to begin, that's as far as we're going to read today. Now next week we'll pick up on verse 8 and read about the Smyrna church age, which would be the second church age. Now, we have laying before us here on our desk the prophets, a book on the seven church ages. And some of the material we'll be using today will be from the writing of the prophet William Branham, which God vindicated to be the seventh angel, which you'll see later on as we study on these church ages. Now, the church age Ephesus began about 53 A.D., and lasted till about 70 A.D., see? And then, as you'll find out next week, how the church made another change, until seven distinct ages. Alright, let us study out this before we really get down into the word part of it. Let us look just a little bit what the very name Ephesus means. It has a compound meaning, the word Ephesus does, which it means aimed at and relaxed. See, that is the compound meaning of the word Ephesus. So we're studying today on the Ephesus church age. I want to show you that even the name of the age, how it fit perfectly the condition of this first church age, even the very name now. Notice the first is aimed at. Now notice when the church at Pentecost left Pentecost there, and as it church began to spread, and as the gospel swung over from Israel to the Gentiles, notice Paul, when he first began to preach to the Gentiles, said they glorified the word of God. And said, as many as were ordained to life, believed, see? And also notice in the Word of God today how that he said, I have somewhat against you because you left your first love. What is it? The church age had an aim to begin with, but through time, even before the first age got out, they began to drift. They began to get in a lukewarm state. They begin to be relaxed to the extent that things, as we'll find out today on the broadcast, how things begin to happen in this age, and that will explain how he said, you got among you those that has the deeds of the Nicolaitan. But we want to turn back in the book of Jude and show you what another one said about, what Jude said about the first church age, what would happen in it, and show you even the things, the deeds of the Nicolaitan. Alright, reading in the book of Jude, first chapter, which is only chapter, verse 3 and 4. It reads like this. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now notice here the apostle Jude, he is writing to the people and exhorting them that they should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What is Jude saying to the people? Stay right with the message that was delivered to you. Don't move off of that, but stay right with it. Contend for it. See? That is what Jude is telling the people. And he has a good reason to tell the people, because the apostle Jude saw a condition begin to develop even in this first church age. And he, a man of God, with godly wisdom, began to warn the church to stay right with that word that was delivered unto him. And if anybody teach anything different, don't believe, but contend for that which was once delivered, the faith that Paul preached and the rest. All right, let me show you why he was saying this in verse number 4. It says, for there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, friend, the reason Jude were saying this, certain men crept in unaware. Now what did they creep into, friend? They got right into the congregation, certain men did. And though outwardly it would appear it would take somebody really noticing, friend, to even notice the little deeds they were doing, see? They had a little doctrine, slipping in a little doctrine among the true Word of God. But Jude, he knew this would be. Now Paul, he said, now after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock, see? So Paul warned the people to stay right with what he said. He said, now if an angel come preach something else, don't you believe it. Stay with this message. Stay with what I have delivered unto you, because it's the Word of God. He said, did the Word come unto you, or did it come out from you, see? But the Word of God came unto them by Paul, God's ordained messenger and prophet for the first church age. See? But that is what happened. That is why the very name Ephesus means aimed at and relax. See, the church here at Ephesus were on fire for God. Brother, they had a vision. They were looking for the coming of the Lord. They were looking for the rapture. Now, though the church ages are divided into seven different intervals, the early church did not know it. This is a mystery that God has promised to reveal by the seventh church age messenger, the seventh angel. Read Revelation 10 and 7. It says, in that day when the seventh angel began to sound the mystery singular, the mystery of God will be finished. See, it shows what God has done, how He cut Israel off, and how that through seven church ages, He is calling out a bride for His name's sake. Now notice, but it won't be known until the seventh church age. Why? Because God wanted to keep the people looking for Him. Notice the one that died in the early church age, the first age, they went down expecting to see the coming of the Lord. That's right. Because Paul preached, we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Which indicated that Paul himself might even thought that the Lord were coming in his day. So he kept the people looking for the coming of the Lord. But in the wisdom and in the mind and in the plan of God, God knew it would be 2,000 years approximately before He came. Therefore, He kept the word, He hid it from the church, amen, in order to keep them seeking Him, keep them looking for Him. Now, at the resurrection, When these old saints that died back through the ages had resurrected, see, they went down expecting to see the coming of the Lord. See, they'll all come up together. Amen. And just be as though they fell asleep and rose up. Brother, it'll be fresh to them. But after this church age here, now we're going to have to hurry. Like I say, we won't have time to get in very much on this, but just enough that through the 7 messages on this, maybe you will get a picture of how the church has come. Now, the main reason for it is we want you to see at the end where these denominations started from, how old they are, and so forth. Show you how that Luther in the 5th church age, which was the messenger to the Sardis church age, how that he protested that Catholic church and came out bringing the light of God's Word, and how on and on God began to reveal more and more of the Word of God until we got to where we're at now. I know this staggers a lot of people when you begin to talk like this, but God is bringing His church more from the negative to the positive all the time, see? Alright, I'm going to just pick up a few things in this. I've got to hurry and talk fast. Alright, notice, He said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Notice, they left their first love. They had a love for God. They had a vision for the work of God. They had a zeal in their heart to spread this gospel, to see people saved, to convert the heathen to this new religion, which were Christian religion. See? But they had a zeal in their heart. But notice, as time went by, they began to do just like the church has today, begin to get cold, indifferent, not assembling themselves together, not praying, not fasting, not seeking God like they ought to the extent that they drifted to the place where He said, you repent and do your first works over. Now, I don't think the early church here, as it began to go off into the first church age, actually committed open sin, the reason He said repent, but it was the fact that they'd got cold. They'd lost the first love. They didn't have that zeal in their heart to do something for God. So He said, repent and do your first works over, or else I'll come and move the candlestick out of its place. But I want you to notice in here, He said, here's something, He said, and that this thou has, patience for and for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. See, He's commanding them for this one thing. He said, you've lost your first love. See, He said in verse 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left its first love, speaking to the church age, see. But He said, I have somewhat against you. But then He said, I have something to command you for. See? Because you've labored for my name's sake and has not fainted. Notice they got the name of the Lord with them. Yes, they labored for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you'll read Acts 19, you'll find where Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, finding certain disciples, said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? They said, we don't know whether there be any Holy Ghost or not. He said, how was you baptized? They said, we were baptized unto John's baptism. Paul said, John verily baptized unto the baptism of repentance, saying that you ought to believe on Him that is to come, that is on Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Amen. And prophesying, spoke with tongues, and so forth. See, the early church, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the early church, they received the Holy Ghost. And we're going to show you, as we come out of these church ages, how that God began with Luther, with justification, Wesley, sanctification, then around the turn of the 19th century, how He began to pour out the Holy Ghost in California, and how it spreads across the United States, and so forth. God restoring His church. And now, He has restored back the Word of God to this end time bride by the 7th messenger. But I'm going to have to skip some of this and get down in verse 6, because we won't have time to get. Verse 6 says, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate." Now, what is the deeds Nicolaitan? He said, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate. Now, the word Nico, it comes from a Greek word, a compound Greek word. It means Nicolaitan. Nico means to conquer the laity. See, Nicolaitan, compound it, means to conquer the laity. Alright, if we see a doctrine in the first church age of them trying to conquer the laity, what is it? They are trying to exalt a priesthood over the people. See? Just like it was in the Jewish religion, where they had the high priest and so forth. See, they begin to plant a little seed right here, and we want to show you in the other ages how it grew and grew in time until it finally reached the seventh church age, and show you just exactly what it is. And friends, to put it in one word, it is denominationalism. Them trying to exalt a priesthood over the people, trying to conquer them. In other words, taking authority to themselves that was not ordained for them to take. See, getting the congregation in their crutches, so to speak, so that they could tell them what to do and what not to do. But this is not the original way that it should be. See, this is a deed of a Nicolaitan. And as we go further in the church ages, now on this one age you're going to say, I wonder what he's talking about. I don't see it. But friend, if you'll just listen each week now while we're studying these church ages, I'm sure you will see it. Now you might have a tape recorder you would like to sit by your radio and get a recording of this message today. Or if you're interested in a tape on the seven church ages and so forth, write me and we'll see if we can't work something out. See, because we want you to know this, we want you to see where we're at now historically, how that we have now passed historically through the seven church ages, and now it is time for the coming of the Lord. That is why God is moving in such a tremendous way in the hearts of His people, getting them back to the Word of God. You may say, well, I don't see such a great move of God. Then where are you going to church at? If that church you're going to is dead, if it's cold, if it's formal, if it don't have the power of God, then you ought to begin to seek a place where the power of God is moving, where the Word of God is being preached. Amen. And these mysteries brought forth from the Word of God, that you may know that that hour not come upon you in the way. Now notice, you've got the deeds of the Nicolaitans among you, see? Then I hate that. I don't like it. So you hate it, which I also hate. I'm commanding you for it. What was he doing? He was commanding the people. He said, I've got something against you. See, they left the first love because to begin with, they had a vision for the Word of God. They had a vision to see God's plan fulfilled. But then they begin to relax. They begin to cool off. They begin to lose their first love. But see, they had that great Apostle Paul among them. If you'll notice, Paul, he preached at Ephesus for 3 years. There at the city of Ephesus. So the people were so founded on that Word of God, though they lost some of their spirituality, though they lost some of the love of God, though they wasn't where they ought to be with God, he said, I commend you for this right here, because you hate those that got the deeds of Nicolaitan. You hate the deeds of Nicolaitan, which I also hate. See? Now this is taking Revelation 2, the first church age. If you'll read in there, you'll find there's seven distinct churches that and each church has a messenger or an angel, and you'll fully understand this if you will listen to these broadcasts each week while we're studying on these things. Notice, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitan. See, he'd command them for it. Why? Because these people wouldn't let them put a priesthood over them. They held their place in the Word of God. When some guy come through that claimed he was apostle or he was a prophet, brother, the word here says they tried them and found that they were liars. Now, I'm not saying it's what the Word of God says. Let me read verse 2 to show you that it is. See, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. See, how what was it? They were off the Word. But today we got a generation of people, if a man come through hooping and hollering, speaking in tongues, and showing a few signs, brother, they'll run right after it. But the early church didn't. They gave them the Word test. And Jesus said, I'm commanding you for this. Now, friends, we just begin to get on this message today, which to do this message just as it would take at least an hour and a half to preach this message, to bring in all that ought to be brought in. But on radio, we don't have time. I see that our time is gone now, so tune us in next week to hear the message on the Smyrna Church Age, which is the second church age. Amen. As we go off there, may God richly bless you. Amen.